Chapter 1. Dorset, Spring 1966. Just for a moment, Meg was on her own on the station platform. She had travelled into deepest Dorset and it felt like another world. It was just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon and everything was very still. She had time to take in the hanging baskets, the tubs of scarlet tulips, narcissi and blue grape hyacinths. The sense of peace. It was an unseasonably hot day for April, and waves of heat shimmered above the platform. Then her mother, Louise, hurried into view.
"I'm so sorry I'm late, darling, and thank you so much for coming at such short notice. It was such a relief when you said yes."
She took Meg into her arms and they hugged each other hard.
"It's okay," said Meg.
"The moment I said my mother needs me, the manager accepted my notice without question and allowed me to leave straight away. Let me look at you. It's been far too long since we've seen each other. I love your hair like that."
Meg ruffled her dark brown locks disparagingly. "It needs cutting again, really. But keeping it stylish was so time-consuming. Apart from having to keep going to get it trimmed, I was supposed to stick down my fringe and the bits at the side with sellotape when it was wet, and I couldn't be bothered. Now it's just curly and does what it likes.
It's very attractive.
And I like your dress too. The colour brings out the green of your eyes.
Though it is quite short."
"Too short? It's only just above my knee, not halfway up my thigh."
In fact, Meg didn't have many dresses. She spent most of her time in kitchens wearing chef's whites and checked trousers, or in black dresses with aprons for when she was working as a waitress. When she wasn't working, she mostly wore slacks. But it was so hot, she felt a dress would be more comfortable to travel in.
"It's lovely," Louise said, not sounding quite convinced.
"But we're a bit behind the times in Dorset.
Swinging London is a long way away. The only thing that swings here are the church bells."
Meg laughed, glad to see her mother hadn't lost her sense of humour in spite of her worrying new job.
"I brought my work gear. I don't want to frighten the horses with my modern ways."
"Cows, mostly."
Louise took hold of Meg's case.
"Good journey."
"The last bit is so pretty, isn't it?
Are you hungry?
I can make you something when we get back, but we should hurry."
"It's okay. I ate on the train.
Sandwiches and leftovers from an event last night." Meg followed her mother, who had set off at quite a lick into the car park, which only had 2 cars in it. Louise stopped by a pale blue Mini Traveller.
"This is us."
"Oh, Mum, a Mini," said Meg. "How dashing! This would be perfectly at home on the King's Road."
"I know. Andrew, he owns the hotel, bought it for my use. Purely for practical reasons, of course."
Louise laughed.
"I can't tell you how relieved I am to see you. I couldn't decide if I was going to murder the chef or he was going to murder me.
But whatever. It's all going to hell in a handcart."
"I was delighted to have an excuse to leave my job," said Meg.
"I'd got awfully bored with cooking nursery food for rich bankers.
This will be the perfect job before I go and work with my French chef."
"It's so exciting that you've managed to arrange that. In Provence. So you'll be near Alexandra."
"That's right.
Antoine, her husband, whose account I hadn't forgotten,
helped me arrange it all after their wedding. It's going to be terribly hard work, and I don't think the restaurant will pay me, but I'll learn such a lot it'll be worth it."
"They won't pay you?"
Louise was outraged.
"No, I'll be learning, so that's my payment.
In the old days, young chefs had to pay old chefs for the privilege, so things are a bit better now."
Louise pursed her lips in disapproval.
"Well, I do hope you won't find working down here as boring as what you were doing in London. They're not rich bankers, but most of our clientele like what they call simple food. In fact, everyone gets what the chef decides to give them."
"Please don't worry, Mum. I'll do anything you need me to do. My French slave driver doesn't want me for a while anyway. You can have me all summer or however long you need me."
Louise put Meg's case in the back of the car and walked round to the front.
"Get in, darling. It's not locked."
As the car pulled away, Meg said,
"Now tell me everything. I've been dying of curiosity ever since you rang." I know it's been awful for you, but I feel quite excited about it. You know I love a challenge.
Louise swallowed. We have a big function coming up, a lunch. The hotel does it every year and it's quite a moneymaker for us. It's been going on for years. It used to be for the birthday of the squire, and all the tenants came and celebrated. There aren't many tenants left now, so other people are invited too. Since the war, people have had to pay for the lunch themselves, but they still love to come. Some of them travel from quite long distances. Andrew made sure I knew all about it before he went away.
Where has Andrew gone? Seems a strange thing to do just before this big event.
Well, his father moved to France some time ago, and he has just died. Andrew has had to go and sort out the estate. He rang me last night to say it's all in a frightful muddle. We're just hoping that as Andrew's been running the hotel for a couple of years and really loves it, he'll inherit it. But we don't know.
Louise paused.
He's left me in charge, although I was only taken on as a receptionist and office manager.
And it's not easy.
Louise shook her head.
I'm still new to the job, and the moment Andrew was out of the way, the chef, Jeff, who I'd never liked but didn't have much to do with, turned into a tyrant.
Well, I'm here now, so you can sack him.
If only I could. But I have to run major decisions past Andrew's son, who I've never met and has shown absolutely no interest in the hotel since I've been here.
Meg laughed. Don't worry, Mum. Foul-mouthed, bullying chefs are the norm. I've worked with dozens of them. It'll be fine. Now, tell me about the hotel.
Oh, Nightingale Woods is the most gorgeous old Georgian house with perfect architecture, said Louise, obviously glad to move on from the chef.
When I read the advert in The Lady, I looked it up in an old AA guide that was in the staff room at school and fell in love.
In love?
Meg was startled. She'd never known her mother to be quite so enthusiastic about a house, however perfect the architecture.
Yes, in love with the house,
her mother smiled mischievously. I hadn't met Andrew then, of course.
Mum?
I'm joking, of course. I'm just so happy that you're here. I've gone a little bit giddy. Her mother was indeed a bit giddy, Meg thought. It could have been the joy of driving a smart little car through country roads lined with wild flowers on a hot spring afternoon. Or it could have been happiness because she was reunited with her daughter whom she hadn't seen for a while. But somehow, Meg thought there was more to it.
Why did you apply for a new job?
I thought you were happy as an assistant matron. You liked looking after the boys and the teachers were friendly, weren't they? Said Meg.
It was a combination of things. I'd got bored with the school routine, counting sheets and dealing with lost property, and it got a bit awkward eventually. Too many single men getting competitive.
At just over 40, Meg's mother could be considered middle-aged, but her lively, caring personality and her bright good looks meant that men were often attracted to her. She was medium height with a good figure, blonde hair, blue eyes and wonderful skin. This was one of the reasons that Meg was determined to earn enough money to buy a flat, so that her mother didn't always have to take live-in jobs, which sometimes made her vulnerable to unwelcome advances. Meg already had almost enough for a deposit, if only they didn't need a man to support their application for a mortgage. Her mother, on the other hand, felt that Meg should keep her savings for herself. It was a tricky subject which they avoided discussing.
Before Andrew, your boss, went away and you had to deal with the chef, did you like the job? Asked Meg.
Loved it. It's such a beautiful house, quite large, in an idyllic spot.
Wait until you see it.
And I liked doing something a bit different. I still have to count sheets and towels, of course, but I deal with the guests, the staff, do the wages, look after the books. Anything that needs doing, in fact. And if I've got a spare afternoon, I do some decorating.
You've always enjoyed that.
It's because I so rarely get the chance to, always living in staff accommodation. But there are a couple of bedrooms that I can do up in my own time. Andrew let me choose the wallpaper and the paint. They're going to look lovely.
Sounds as if there's lots going on, not the sleepy backwater I was imagining, said Meg.
Usually it is a sleepy backwater, make no mistake.
but at the moment it's the scene of high drama.
Meg laughed. The special lunch?
Louise nodded.
It's for 50 people, which is a lot for us.
Why are you so worried, if the hotel has done this lunch lots of times before?
But the chef hasn't, and he sacked a lot of people, including a whole family, 3 generations, who'd worked for the hotel for years. He said he's organised agency staff, that it's more cost-effective to just get people in when you need them.
Well, obviously that's really sad, but the agency staff may do a good job.
It's possible, but the guests have been coming to the lunch for years, and they like being served by the daughters of the men who they've known forever. It's hard to explain, but Nightingale Woods is like a family, one that has been broken apart, and our guests will see that.
Oh, Mum. Louise sighed. I promised Andrew that I'd look after the hotel for him, and I feel I've failed already.
But how on earth are you managing without the staff?
It's only been a couple of days, so we've coped. I've been serving dinner.
And you can't take anyone new on?
Not officially, no. But while I may not be allowed to hire anybody, Jeff can't stop me inviting my daughter to stay. I asked Andrew before he left, in front of Jeff, and Andrew was positively encouraging.
Mum, I know I'm good, no point in being modest, but I'm not sure I could replace a whole team of people who've worked in the hotel for years.
Meg had always been able to make her mother laugh, even with the most feeble joke, and her mother obliged.
Then she suddenly slowed down the car. Look, there's our permanent resident, Ambrosine. I'll see if she'd like a lift to the hotel.
She pulled up alongside an elderly lady in a hat that she had probably made herself and clothes that were either also homemade or came from a previous century. She was striding along with a basket on her arm.
Ambrosine? Do you want a lift?
Oh, Louise, it's you. How kind.
I've been to visit my friend, the Colonel. You could take my basket with pleasure, but I prefer to carry on walking.
Louise opened her door and put the wicker basket on the back seat. This is my daughter, Meg. She's going to be staying with me for a little while.
How nice, said Ambrosine, peering into the mini. I look forward to meeting you properly later. But now I must get on, and I expect you must too.
She is a true eccentric, said Louise once they were driving again. She's over 70, but fit as a flea. Walks for miles every day. She'll outlive us all, that's what Andrew says.
So she actually lives in the hotel all year round? Asked Meg.
Yes, she has a couple of rooms in the old nurseries. She doesn't pay to live here. It's an arrangement made by Andrew's father, I think. The Colonel is her gentleman friend who lives nearby and who is possibly even more elderly.
Talking of elderly people, have you got any news of Clover? I miss that little dog.
Sad to say, I don't think she misses you. She loves living with Lizzie in the country, being doted on and being taken for lots of walks in the woods.
I'd love another dog, I must confess. I'll ask Andrew about it when he gets back.
He may not like dogs, Meg suggested.
Of course he likes dogs. Would I like him if he didn't?
His old dog died and he hasn't got round to getting another one. Meg was sorry she probably wouldn't meet Andrew. If her mother was keen on a man, and all the signs were there that she was, she needed to give him a thorough inspection.
Look!
Louise slowed and then stopped the car and indicated a vista visible through a farm gate.
There's the hotel. Nightingale Woods. Isn't it beautiful?
It was. A perfect specimen of a Georgian house sat in extensive gardens. Everything was symmetrical. 3 rows of windows with dormers in the roof. There were chimney stacks at both ends. Behind the building was woodland, and in front a valley with a river at the bottom. It had a magical quality and could have been in a painting by an old master. It was so pleasing to the eye.
Gorgeous. I can see why you fell in love with it.
I know. Even in a very small black and white photograph, it looked heavenly. I can't believe I'm lucky enough to work there. I was so happy before Jeff started throwing his weight around, sacking people and being so unpleasant.
That is such a shame. It's a really beautiful building in a heavenly spot.
I know, but Sadly, we're not nearly as busy as we ought to be. Why on earth not? Surely people must absolutely love staying there. They do if they come. But there's another newer hotel not far away that has more to offer, at least on paper. What sort of things? What could this gem be lacking? Louise laughed at Meg's indignation. We don't have enough bathrooms, for one thing, and the other hotel has a swimming pool. I think it may even be heated. Younger people definitely want these things. I suppose so, said Meg, wondering if perhaps there could be changes made so this hotel, in this little patch of heaven, could attract younger visitors too. Come and see Nightingale Woods close up, said Louise. I want to make Ambrosine sandwiches while Jeff is on his break. Her colonel doesn't always feed her, and I think she should keep her strength up with all the walking she does. She started the car. Meg couldn't help feeling excited as they drove to the beautiful house on the hill, but at the same time, she wondered what on earth she was getting into.